That's me. I'm producing from 1 foot. I'm holding a door. Phil is here. How you doing, Phil?
Good. That might be a good name, the producer with 1 foot.
Yes. You know, I like the practice of giving names. We were speaking to Bill Wazer. That book is Loyal to Death. Is it this administrator that was telling the Native leaders that you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to work? And he says, I'm not going to give you – he was quite cruel the way he was quite proud of how hard he was with people. Of course, I'm sure he bragged to his white friends, you know, that he was bringing them discipline and whatnot. And he was called by the Native people Ironheart. Of course, you know, this is – you always see the blue bloods in our society what do they call it? Tough love, you know.
Yes, yeah. They love that term.
Is it cold out there? Shove him into the cold. It's the best thing you can do for him. Otherwise, he'll get dependent on warmth, you know.
Well, by the way, Donald Trump is showing tough love to the Puerto Ricans right now. He's as there's no recovery efforts going on, and he insults them.
He's first of all, he's not going to do anything anyway. But then, if you rebuke him for that, or you indicate he's not so nice, he becomes worse. I mean, he's just kind of bad with the potential to get worse. And that's what people are finding out. It's an education. We should say, I guess, something, though not much in my opinion, about the shooting in Las Vegas. And Phil has come in a little. He got in the door later than me. I don't know if you have any late news, but to me it's not something that has any thing other than the mark of violence of a type that is becoming common.
He's been identified as a high-stakes gambler. His brother says it was not uncommon for him to send him a text, oh, I won $250,000 in the casino tonight. Mm. But he obviously would lose those kind of sums. And they
or
found...
Or he was just in the habit of sending lying telegrams.
Well, that's also possible, too. They when they found the unit he was in, he had 19 guns in there, including fully automatic.
He turned it into 19? I had heard that there were 10. So yeah. I don't – see, these are those kind of details. I've spoke to a couple people who say, well, you know, they're shocked. But aren't we past that? I mean, we understand this is now going to happen. You can't flood the place with every kind of hardware. And as a matter of fact, it suggests that everybody ought to have weapons, except black people, by the way, and Mexicans. That's not permitted. But everybody ought to have it and know how to use it. And then you say, well, yeah, but do you ever go into the homes of people who are maybe not making that much money, maybe not having that much success in life, or been listening to the kind of talk radio or talk television, or the people are always angry, everybody's cursing. Cursing is now just the way we do things. And that's always that you're at the outer edge of the mind, you know, and where the next thing that happens is somebody gets really badly hurt. You know, it's not, what we should start registering is non-shock. And there will be hands raised saying, can we now talk about gun control? And the answer will be no. So, no, it's not going to happen. We will see. The president is going to go to Las Vegas, of course. He wouldn't miss. Did he get to Puerto Rico yet? He's due in Puerto Rico, but did he show up yet? I think it's just as well, because in fact, the presence of a megalomaniac is just drains energy out of people who could be better employed. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. There's a proverb that says, "What should I say when it's best to say nothing?" The answer is nothing. The other matters, there's this curious story that I don't want to see disappear, or rather I'd like to see somebody start to talk about it, and that is in our favorite country of Ukraine, capital I believe is Kiev, the leader of the country is called Mr. Poroshenko, and he's a good friend of the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister and his foreign minister have decided that more weapons ought to be delivered to Mr. Poroshenko and to the Ukrainian government. And we understand, I mean, anybody with two eyes and a history and knows something about the newspapers and history, that the there is a ugly relationship between Mr. Poroshenko and the government of Russia. So putting the weapons there has some obvious implications. By the way, it has implications for other neighbors like Poland. But at any rate, I want to talk about the fly in the ointment. That is, there is a minister, former minister of the Ukrainian government. His name is Saakashvili. And Saakashvili is a sack of Shvili. And he is the former president of Georgia. Am I right?
That's Georgia. Right. That is right.
Now, Saakashvili is wanted in Georgia.
That's right.
For high crimes and basically stealing, I think. It's, yeah. And probably some other. He's the one who was in charge when they decided to pick a fight with Russian forces in the
2008. It was just as the Olympics was beginning.
Can you say the name of the
in Ossetia.
Ossetia.
Yeah.
And that turned out to be a disaster.
Yes.
That was in a very dangerous situation. And by the way, John McCain was all for it. And the leaders of Ukraine at that time were all in favor of that, thought it was wonderful. The world escaped a wider war because the Georgian element were beaten badly beyond. And partly because they had this non-genius Saakashvili as leader. So at any rate, he departed Georgia under a cloud. And he is wanted, I think, by Interpol. I don't know. And he turns up in Ukraine. And Mr. Poroshenko, he has a crisis on his hands. He took power as a result of a coup, the Maidan coup, when the people had been promised that an agreement had been struck involving neighboring states in good faith. Said the sitting president, who is in a crisis situation because there are crowds demanding, he has agreed to an early election, and he will step aside, and there will be a combined parties leadership of Ukraine, and then new elections will be held. That was the agreement, and they all signed it, including Poroshenko's side. And then there was hubbub and melee in Kiev, and a coup happened where that agreement was cast aside, completely cast aside. So the eastern part of the country, where there is has historically been an element that didn't agree with the western side of the country, countries are like this. This is not the only country in the world that has east, west, north, south problems. So those in the East said they did not like the language of the people coming into power because they were starting to talk along ethnic lines and insisting on new policies which would not be respectful of the history and culture and policies followed by the people of Eastern Ukraine. So the government tried to assert its power, and again, it's an illegal government. It never did. It did not live up to the agreement, so it was, in the eyes of any sane person, basically illegal, and never attempted to correct that. Instead, they went about a policy of punitive policy, beating up on people who didn't agree with them. So in the East, it was a problem. So Saakashvili arrives, and Poroshenko appoints him governor over one of those eastern states, regions. He appoints a Georgian. Non-Ukrainian. Of course, he went through the exercise. It shows you how crazy. Frankly, hello, Mr. Prime Minister. Hello, Frieda. Is that her name? No, Chrystia Freeland. Are you crazy? You think it's smart to take a Georgian president, ex-president, who's hated now by the Georgian people, bring him to Ukraine and make him a Ukrainian citizen and then make him a governor? So that's how democratic you are? That's how respectful you are of the people of Ukraine? Is it you made Saakashvili a governor? And what did he do? Of course, not much. I mean, he did various things. He attended meetings. And at one of the meetings, he got into a loud shouting match. You can watch it on television. No, you can go on the internet and watch it. I don't know if you did. You ever watch that film? You ever
I
see
haven't
it?
Seen that. No.
Well, Saakashvili decided to tell off the whole cabinet one day, so we get to watch it. And they started throwing water on each other and pretending they wanted to fight. You know, making sure that three or four people held them back while they shouted insults. And at any rate, so they decided maybe he wasn't the best guy to be governor. But so I thought, well, of course not. I mean, he's gone. I don't know what was going on there in the first place. So then he continues to say that he no longer likes the Ukrainian leadership. And he hates Poroshenko. Poroshenko, he says, is no good. So Poroshenko said, all right, you think I'm no good, so I take your citizenship back. And he, Saakashvili, was in Poland, I think, when this happened. So I said, well, this is a great comedy. What it needs is music. That's what's missing is music. But and it would be the kind of brass band thing where people, you know, you make funny sounds on the trombone. However, he showed up at the border the other day and said, I'm coming back. He's not a citizen anymore. And he's at the border where they have a customs and whatever, like other people. And they say, no, you can't come in because you're not a citizen. You don't have a visa. It's over. Well, the woman who is most celebrated for wearing a kind of peasant costume and her blonde, her braids and all that little stuff. I notice in the picture, she's standing there behind him. And they forced their way in. So the former Georgian president, who's wanted for high crimes, who's been made a citizen and given a governor's job, and then had his citizenship taken away, and then flees to Poland, and then comes back and says, I'm coming in the country. He comes in the country. He's there. Saakashvili is back. And he's walking around, I guess, Lvov. Because I don't think it'd be a good idea to walk around Kiev. And I would definitely not recommend you go to eastern Ukraine. But this is the clown show that we have. And the Prime Minister of Canada gives weapons to the number one clown, that is Mr. Poroshenko. This is ridiculous. Why is he still the leader? I mean, after he appoints a Georgian to be a governor, I mean, and then goes through the thing of you're a citizen, no, you're not a citizen, I hate your mother, oh, your mother's has a mustache. It was this goofy stuff. Of course, but it's dangerous because Chrystia Freeland is, we're told, the big authority on Ukraine. I mean, after all, she's from there, or her ancestry. She's very proud of it. She couldn't be more proud. Well, if you're so damn proud, why don't you explain why you're giving guns to these idiots and pledging that we're side by side with them? By the way, while you're at it, are you on Saakashvili's side or are you on the Poroshenko side? This is something that I think is embarrassing, should be, to Canadians because allegedly we have a foreign policy, you know, and it's based on some kind of rational working. And one of the first things you say in foreign policy is let's not get involved in wars and let's make sure that treaties are observed. And this is a reference back to our first part of the show, but treaties and any trade and all that is all on the up and up and not involving criminals and not involving people who are illegally in power. But we just have a bunch of smiling people, you know, and they call them the NDP, call it the Liberals, call it Green, call it Bloc Québécois, call it Conservatives. They're all smiling, and they all want to stroke and touch Poroshenko. Or they want to, nobody wants to ask any questions about this bizarre story of Mr. Saakashvili. So this is something that the Taylor Report will follow, and we know that Chrystia Freeland, our foreign minister, who's so brilliant, speaks Russian and speaks Ukrainian, and whose grandfather was a Nazi collaborator. But she didn't have it. That's not something we're allowed to ask her about because it's not polite, even though she said he's a hero to her and has never said anything else. Last point on that, by the way, just apropos of Chrystia Freeland and why we have such an ignorant relationship with Ukraine. We like to play it in order to make a joke. It's kind of, you say it's ridiculous or it's not, doesn't make sense, but it makes perfect sense. Her grandfather was a Nazi collaborator, and like many of the Nazi collaborators of Eastern Europe, he came to the West and was seen as an asset to be used against Russia and the Soviet Union, the East, and et cetera. So he was one of the assets. So he was protected, et cetera. And the policy goes on. So he didn't lie to anybody. They wanted him. So she knows that dirty little fact. They wanted Grandpa, and she wants Grandpa. And her links to the people presently running Ukraine are of a type that she would never turn on Grandpa. She can't, because her political base is that base. She will never, ever say that Grandpa was wrong. Because if she says Grandpa was wrong, then what value is she? She's undermining the cause, because place now has many leaders there who think Grandpa was a hero. They put up pictures of all the people that Grandpa used to be associated with. Why not Grandpa, her grandfather, the one that she will never talk about? And we are not permitted to ask about. It's not polite to ask somebody why they praise someone who's been identified as a Nazi collaborator. It's not permitted. So that's the odd cultural situation we're in. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I think we have a taste of Lee Morgan, and maybe we have, that's my answer to every problem. We'll come back.